smarter than your average sports show. You're listening to Rothman and Ice.
All right, welcome back. Rothman and Ice, Ben Lindsay, Pro Football Focus, is now on the Bryant Heating Cooling Systems Fan Guest Hotline. Ben, welcome back.
Thanks for having me on, guys.
Yeah. All right, let's get your instincts on this quarterback class. You know, we're sitting here in Columbus, Ohio. We got a full taste of Trevor Lawrence. And now we look at the other dudes. And we have Justin Fields, obviously, going into this class. June Jones comes out and says Trevor Lawrence wouldn't even be my first or second choice. My first would be Zach Wilson. What is your feel on this class? Is there a sleeper? Should there be an upset? Or is this Trevor – obviously, it's Trevor Lawrence all the way with Urban Meyer, you'd have to say. But give us your take on and ranking these guys.
Yeah, I think it has to be Lawrence. You can say that other quarterbacks are better in individual areas. You can say Justin Fields is a little bit more accurate than Lawrence. Trey Lance might have a bigger arm. But Lawrence does everything well. He's one of the more complete quarterback prospects that we've seen coming out in the last 5 to 10 years. I think any time you have a guy who's been the number one guy for 2-3 years, once you get farther into the process, there's going to be some buzz, some questioning. Is Zach Wilson actually the best quarterback in the class? Is Justin Fields? But I don't think that changes the fact that those two guys are a step below Lawrence. And I think Zach Wilson and Justin Fields are two quarterbacks who, if Lawrence wasn't in this class, they're worthy of being taken first overall in a draft class. I think they're both that talented. They're just not quite on Lawrence's level. And then when you get behind them, Trey Lance, Mac Jones, it really just comes down to whether you want the guy who does a lot of the sort of typical quarterback things well, and Mac Jones, accurate, has a good feel in the pocket, or you chase Lance's tools, because from a physical standpoint, he would come into the NFL and be one of the best rushing quarterbacks right away. He has a top-tier NFL arm. He just doesn't have a ton of experience. He wasn't super accurate at North Dakota State. So there's some development that needs to be done there.
You know, Ben, today we had another big-time quarterback domino fall, and the Philadelphia Eagles sending Carson Wentz over to Indy to link back up with Frank Reich. Do you view this as a situation where Carson Wentz can now turn things around and put out some better stuff than what he has over the last couple of seasons?
It's definitely a better situation for Carson Wentz. When you look at what he had to work with in Philadelphia last year, it wasn't great at all. The offensive line was hit hard by injuries. They didn't really have any receivers he could feel comfortable with. That said, he still played poorly. I think what the Colts should be expecting from Wentz is something closer to 2018, 2019, sort of that middle of the pack. I don't think he's the guy who was a borderline MVP candidate in 2017, and he's also not a bottom-tier starter like we saw last year. I think it's somewhere in the middle. And the Colts have a good enough team to where they can win with that quarterback. It just comes down to whether or not you feel they gave up too much to bring him in.
Ben Lindsay with us from Pro Football Focus. Now, there's two conversations here. One, whether Houston will hang on like grim death to Deshaun Watson, or whether ultimately they will have to trade him. Let me get your thought on that. And then also, if they do trade him, this push by Carolina seems to be taking on a life of its own. How much do you think the Carolina wants to see them acquire that type of game changer?
Yeah, I think to answer the first question, Houston is going to end up having to trade Watson. I don't think if they sort of try to call his bluff, I think Watson will sit out. I think things have gone that bad to the point where he just won't play. And at that point, you can't have the star of your team not playing. It's better for them just to sort of wipe the slate, get back some value, which they should be able to get a haul for Deshaun Watson. Quarterbacks like him don't become available in the trade market all that often. So I think he will end up getting traded before the season starts. Carolina is definitely a spot that makes sense. They've been aggressive trying to look at quarterbacks this offseason. It seems like if they don't get Deshaun Watson, they're a candidate to trade up to grab a Justin Fields or a Trey Lance potentially early in the draft. And there's talent. There's talent on that roster. They have Robbie Anderson, DJ Moore. Joe Brady has done a really good job since he came over from LSU. It would be a good spot for Watson.
I wanted to go back to the kind of Wentz and Philly situation, because I wanted to ask you about Jalen Hurts, because his journey has been pretty wild, man. Transferring from Bama, goes to Oklahoma, puts up some monster numbers there at Oklahoma on a one-off from there. Then last year, he gets thrown into the mix, and I thought he looked good in some spots and okay in others. What do you think about the future of Jalen Hurts? Are you buying that guy out there in Philly can be a franchise quarterback for him?
I think he has a chance. You saw last season, he came in and their offense immediately looked better. And that was even with Hurts. He didn't play all that well as a passer. When you bring the kind of rushing ability he does, it raises the floor of an offense. And based on what he did at Alabama and Oklahoma, especially his last year at Oklahoma, I think he's a good enough passer to be that guy. He's accurate. He can move a little bit. So I wouldn't be against Philadelphia giving him a chance, even though there's a chance they could take another quarterback early in this year's draft.
All right, Ben, we'll live up to your name, and we'll leave you with this one. Ben Roethlisberger, it seems to me, I mean, was there ever more of a trial balloon than what the GM threw out this week about that he's our quarterback for now? I mean, that almost feels like they are setting this up for a don't be surprised if he's not around next year. What do you think?
Yeah, man, it sounded eerily similar to what we heard from the Rams about Jared Goff. It was a similar sort of non-committal statement. And to be fair, the Steelers shouldn't want Ben Roethlisberger back if they can't work out some sort of contract negotiation to lower his cap hit this year. He's not a quarterback who should be costing them over $40 million. Which is what it's at right now. So if he's not willing to come back at a cheaper price, which it sounds like he is based on what he's been saying this offseason, it wouldn't be surprising at all to see the Steelers move on and see what they have in Mason Rudolph, potentially even throw Dwayne Haskins out there. But it's not a great situation for the Steelers no matter what they do at quarterback. They're not in a position where they can go get a guy in the draft, really, other than a lower option. They don't have a ton of cap space to really bring anyone in free agency. So it could be a tough year for them.
Yeah, this is a real tough one. When it comes time, you got a Hall of Fame quarterback who's certainly not playing at that level that he's being paid to play. He's willing to redo it and restructure, but how much? And when a quarterback preemptively says, I'll restructure, and then it's crickets and you don't hear anything, and then all of a sudden the GM comes out with this, it's almost like, you know, the writing seems to be on the wall. We'll see. Ben, good stuff, man. Thanks for jumping on, giving us your insight. We appreciate it.
Anytime. Take care, guys.